Hello to everybody. My name's Jason Liasatis. This is the Emergency Transformation Show on Guerrilla Media Network. Thank you so much for joining me. My apologies to everybody. We were a little bit late this afternoon or this morning, whichever way you're looking at us. We had a few technical issues, but that's fine. We're 5 minutes late. It's not a polish act. This is proper radio here. No polish acts, and just the truth, and speaking the truth, and talking about ethics, morals, and all the rest of it. So I've got a fantastic guest on today. Very lucky to have him, and it's Mr. Ole Damgaard. I will just make sure Ole is with us. Ole, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Fantastic, Ole. Thank you for joining me today, Ole. I'll just introduce you, Ole. Ole is an author. A prolific author, a composer, a yoga teacher, does talks everywhere about ethics, morals, truth, compassion, wisdom, vision, all the things we really need to get back to as humanity if we are to stand a chance of survival, in my opinion. You know, you all know, if you've listened to me, how big I am on these subjects. And this is going to be a great talk today with Ole. I'll just introduce your website, Ole, which is lightonconspiracies.com. I first want to say to Ole, well done, Ole, for everything you're doing. You're doing some incredible work out there, absolutely dedicated. A couple of your books, Ole's books, you can find on Amazon or on his website there. Coup d'etat in slow motion, a fascinating book about the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister, Olof Palme. A couple of Ollie's other books. Guilty Victim is a fantastic book. Shadow of Tears is another amazing book. When Ollie started a bicycle ride many years ago with the intention of living in the present moment, his journey took him to Africa, war-torn Iran, and he had to escape via the Soviets and East Germany. Which was quite incredible. Ollie's had some amazing experiences. His life sounds a bit like mine, really. Amazing, Ollie. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Ollie. It's going to be a great chat. Thanks.
Thank you. I just want to say it's almost so it makes me laugh because my website has been under severe attack for weeks here now because I named some of the modern history's worst serial killers a month or two ago together with Professor Jim Fetzer. And after that, my website has been hammered and targeted and calls have been cut out. And now when we were supposed to call, I checked everything before. And right when you call me on Skype, boom, it gets knocked out. So it's I'm really happy that we are in touch now anyway.
Yeah, well, that's great, and I'm glad you're here with us, Ole. We can all hear you on the phone. Thankfully for us, we've got a great warrior for truth, Mr. Peter Santilli, who's got your Guerrilla Media Network, who's helping us over there. So thanks for Pete, and we've got many people on our side. This is a fight between good and evil, really, Ole, and that's a fact. And everyone listening to this, if you're shocked by that, it's true. There's a great fight going on now between people waking up and the people who really don't want the people to wake up, the citizens of this planet. And our governments are holding a pillow over our faces, and people just, the harder the pillow is pushed on our faces, the more people struggle. Right, Ole?
Yeah, that is also just, when you introduced my website, that is a very handpicked name, Light on Conspiracies. Because I spent some 30 years of my life really trying to, in great detail, find out what happened behind many of these major assassinations and so-called terror acts that have been going on for a while, or for so many years. And I totally believe that if my research is correct, it's what we're up against. It looks like a massive, big power empire, but it's actually a very small group of, they call themselves the global elite. I would call them the minority or the lightless or some less charming word. And this is the whole thing. I feel super optimistic about the situation we're in now because this is the time when so many people are waking up after, like I said, I've been in this on this road for some 30 years and they looked upon as a total nutcase and so on. And now instead there's this welcoming everywhere. People are just popping up everywhere, taking back their own personal power and waking up spiritually and just helping to transcend this whole obstacle that we're up against.
Well said, Ollie, and I'm glad you mentioned that about hope, because we'll talk about hope later in the programme. I'd like you to speak about that. But I had the great David Icke on my show last week, and we spoke a lot about this kind of thing. He was vilified like yourself, like me, laughed at many years ago. And ironically, I think, Ollie, you'll probably agree with this, is probably the best thing that can happen to you, because you, like David Icke said, well, you know, I had nothing to lose. I was just going to talk the truth now and get on with it, isn't it? You know, so sometimes it's almost a blessing for to be vilified and ridiculed, isn't it? Because it was like, well, what have I got to lose? Let's just speak the truth, you know?
I think this is the way to look at the situation we're in. We are sort of forced into like a boot camp spiritual situation, I would say, where we need to face our fears. We need to face what we have been part of creating, because it's only by us being asleep that these people have been able to get away with it for such a long time. So we have to take our own responsibility, wake up to the fact that we are actually responsible for a big part of it. And then by waking up and seeing the tools and the method they're using, who these different members of this group is, and so on, then we can neutralize it. I'm not talking with violence. I'm talking about exposing it, putting the spotlight right on them, saying to them, we see you. We see what you are up to. We know who you are. And by that, in that way, transcending this whole thing. Because I think if you try to hit back with violence against this group, I mean, that is their language. They are into death, destruction, wars, all these horrible, horrible, horrible things that the rest of us don't want. And that is their power tool, their home ground, where they can hit back and use whatever violence we raise against them, they can use that as an excuse to hit back many, many, many times more powerful than we can. So that is not the way to go. Revolution is not the way to go either, I would say, because revolution, if you listen to the word, it just repeats itself. And if you study world history, you will see that every single revolution, almost, the people who have taken over and chopped the head of the old ones have turned out even worse after a few years. So that is not the way to go either, I would say. Evolution is the way to go, to wake up to what's going on and be aware of your part of it, that you are the only one you can change, and then live by example, by waking up, spreading good energy around you, being fearless, being powerful, stand in your truth, and just tell them, we're not taking this anymore. And by joining hands, brothers and sisters, but on a global scale, we can just make this stop very quickly. I think we're beyond the tipping point a long time ago. So I would say this is a super optimistic time to be in, at least I feel so, because it's almost like the dragon has been slain and it's just the tail that is getting the last heavy hits around it, because they're getting desperate now. I think they're really getting desperate.
Ollie, it's wonderful to speak to you. Thanks for coming on the show. I'm really delighted to talk to you, honestly, because you know, especially because you've been you're a yoga teacher as well. You talk a lot about the mind, and I do believe that we're coming back to that point, Ollie, where we have to wriggle out. We are complicit, aren't we, in this? And we have to wriggle out of that. It's a masochistic, sadistic symbiosis. We're being abused. They're the abusers. And I think that's right. What you're saying now is, I think that it's lifting, that smog is lifting. And I'm just looking on my screen at one of the things you wrote in that lovely in the lovely lyrics, because you're the composer as well, From Prison to Paradise. I won't read it all. You can read it all later if we've got time. But one of the things you wrote in there was turning prison into paradise may seem too much to achieve, but believe me, it only takes one strong spirit to be free. The true power of a pyramid is never at the top. Instead, it is we, the people, that can make this global game stop. And absolutely, this is what I and yourself keep talking to people about, that we are the scaffolding of the pyramids at the bottom, Ollie, aren't we? We are the ones that can change this. It's that we've just become so indoctrinated with fear and debt, and fear is very paralytic to consciousness, isn't it, Ollie? And we must release ourselves from that fear, as I know you talk about, before we can be free, because fear is like a hand round your throat, isn't it?
Fear is fear is their tool. That is the way they control us. That is why they try to push us down all the time through media, through magazines, through all of this. If you ask the normal person on the street what kind of world he lives in, he would say it's a very violent, there are loads of crimes, there's lots of horror and terror and so on. But then if you ask him at the same time to look out the window and say, describe what he's seeing, he would, I think 99% will look out the window and say, well, there's actually no crime going on here. There's no war. There are no bombs going off here. We're quite happy. We're in a difficult financial situation, but otherwise than that, we're getting by and so on. So what is real? We're being pumped with one image saying, awful, awful, be fearful, be fearful. You can get attacked. There's terrorists everywhere. But the real thing is when you look outside in the world around you, most of us live in a beautiful place. We've just forgotten and we've just dug so deep into this fear mode that we can't see clearly. And that's where I say, turn off the box, because that is one of the major tools they use. I would also suggest stop reading news. It is not that you give up responsibility and not being a responsible adult. I would say being responsible would be to not feed on what they give you, what they try to pump you. That is true responsibility, to choose what you want to take in. And then stop, turn off the box, stop reading all these awful things, and then instead start building your own energy up. And one of the best ways to energize yourself, because only if you are strong can you do and make a difference. I mean, if you're weak and depressed and a victim, nobody can use you. You're just a burden to the rest of us. And there's so many of us that have been in victim mode, so that is not the way to go. So instead, energize yourself. And one of the absolute best ways to get strong is to reach out a helping hand to someone else that needs it. There's so many people around you everywhere that needs help more than you, or that needs help. And I would say go out, do random acts of kindness instead of drive-by shootings. You know, help whoever, do it when they don't see it. Don't expect a thank you. You know, go fix somebody's car when they're not home, fix their garden. They have... maybe when they're not home and when they come back, they think, oh my God, it's a miracle. Maybe they start believing in a higher cause. You know, it gives them hopes, small things like that. Or when you go down the pay road, you know, pay for the person who comes after you. It's 50p or something like that, but it can make such a difference to the person coming after you who might be very depressed and lonely. And so, and then somebody has paid for him on the road. These type of small things, you know, take up garbage, you know, help keep Mother Earth clean, give her some, you know, there's so many ways of doing it. But by helping someone else, it's not only you that feel better, the one you help feels better. And if anyone who watches it, they've done experiments with that, everyone who sees an act of kindness feels better from it. So there's three people gaining from every single little thing you can do. And the stronger you feel inside yourself, the more energized, the more of a difference you can do when it really counts. And that is in situations, for instance, if you're up against people in uniform or these situations where it's so, so important to react in the right way. I would say not react, but act in the correct manner. And that is to stay out of fear mode. And I think there's so many beautiful examples nowadays where people are filming police officers and other people in uniform, just or holding up mirrors, showing them what they've become. You know, these anti-riot teams and SWAT teams and so on, holding up mirrors, showing them this is what you've turned into. And one, when showing you're up them, against these people, see them as somebody's brother, sister, son, whatever, not like a horrible person, because most of these people are duped into, they have been duped into doing what they do as well. I mean, most of the time, they're being pumped before riots saying, my God, we're up against real monsters and hooligans and terrorists and all these things. But the real truth is, we're all there because we just want a better world. Everybody wants to be more happy. and have a peaceful life and raise their children and, you know, have a party now and then. But this small group of people have been manipulating all of us, both in and with or without uniforms or whatever, into thinking that we, the other one, are the enemy. So look away from the small group and just look on each other, or blame the minorities or blame whatever, instead of focusing on what is the root of all of this. And that is the one that will take you to this small core group of human beings or whatever they are that are causing so much mayhem on this world. That's why I've devoted 3 decades of my life trying to expose them, not because I want them any harm. I just want them to stop the madness, you know, so that we can heal this beautiful world with love and harmony and good stuff. And I think we're very close to that. So once again, I am super optimistic.
Yeah, and that's why I like speaking to you, Ollie, because you are optimistic. And I think without hope, we're done for. Without hope, we're just going to spiral down. And I like what you said there, all that stuff, so much you've said there. And you're right, it is infectious, you know. And we are agents of change, there's no doubt about it. And if you're looking, I've appealed in my book to people in the lower echelons of government, in the lower echelons of the army. Look how many people, Ollie, are coming out now and getting a whiff of the smelling salts and saying, I can't stand this anymore. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. You know, I speak to soldiers regularly. We were talking about this, you know, and it's a very exciting time. I really agree with you. And I think it was Krishnamurti who said something like, it's not a good idea to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society.
Sick,
you know,
society.
And I think, and I think what's happening now is people are feeling that sickness is like an ethical alarm bell going off, isn't it, Ollie? I mean, we both talk about this, don't we? About that ethical alarm bell that's ringing loud and clear inside people. And I'm really excited now because I speak to people a lot in my shop. I do one-to-one sessions with people, and people are coming in their drove with feeling that separation and despair inside themselves, which I keep telling them and reminding them, Ollie, is a natural response by a healthy body and mind in a system that's crushing and destroying it. So in other words, the worse the system gets, the more the pillow's pressed over humanity, the more abuse that is given to us, the more we wake up. It's almost like a smelling salts, which is being fanned, the flames of our consciousness, which is being put to sleep by the system via fear and debt and slavery and torture, really, if you like, is being fanned awake now. We are agents of change. And I like what you said about holding the mirror up with cameras to the people and the police. Look what happened at the Bundy Ranch, you know. Pete Santilli and everyone went over there, and they were just, what they were doing is they were mirrors, really. There was much more to it than that. They were mirrors of change, holding a mirror up to those people with the AK-47s and all those people there that were going to, you know, shoot them if they did anything wrong. And they were just saying, here we are, we're showing you what you're doing. And and this is what's got to happen, you know. And the walls are coming down. I agree with you, Ollie. And you as a yoga teacher, Ollie, I want to get a handle on this as well. Is that I know you talk a lot about finding peace individually first inside ourselves, and that is infectious. There's no doubt. And it goes out to other people. And I think the greatest change, you know, is going to come from our minds, because our minds are the greatest threat to humanity, because everything emanates from thought. Everything materializes from thought, doesn't it? We're magicians with amnesia. I've said that many, many, many times. But speak a little bit to people about, Ollie, about finding that peace within themselves. I know you work a lot with people with that, with yoga and finding that peace inside. And that will radiate outward to other people. So it's no good. It's like an orchestra that's out of tune and we're all in chaos. We have to, the one thing we can do is change ourselves, isn't it, Ollie? And that automatically changes the whole, because scientifically we're all connected, aren't we?
This is, I think, the reason why I think it's so important is because depending on what mode we're in, if we're in love mode or if we're in fear mode, these two are the main different modes. This is what will decide which way we will take for the future. Because if we stay in fear mode, even if we manage to neutralize this group that is the problem of today, I would say one of the absolute major ones. If we do that in fear and violent mode, we will just keep creating the same thing again. It will pop up in different variations, or there will be from the people among ourselves, we will just continue the whole thing. So the thing is to do it in love, in the power of love. I'm not talking like New Age, wee-oo-wee-oo. I'm talking about pure power. I mean, love as an absolute power. And this is what is so amazing with love is that it's the absolute highest frequency that is in the universe that has been labeled love, and the lowest that is labeled pure terror, fear. And if you're in a laboratory, let the two meet. What happens is that it's amazing to watch it, because you would think that they would meet in the middle and start fighting, and then one of them would come out and there would be some kind of in the middle frequency coming out of it. But that's not what happens. The lower frequency will just be annulled by the higher one. So love is it. I would say that the Jesus and many other, like Buddha and other people or these big saints when it comes to spirituality, they cracked the code. They knew, they understood, and what they said was, whatever the problem is, meet it with love. Whatever the low frequency is, meet it with a higher frequency, and you will come out of it beautifully, because there's some kind of miracle that happens. I have no idea how it works. I'm just telling you, it works. If somebody pulls a gun to your head and you get into fear mode, the chance of you getting hurt is very big, because you are in their game. You are in the whole awful, violent, terror, fear, all of this mode, which can result in very bad experiences. But if you can manage to stay in the frequency of love, even though somebody is shouting at you or abusing you or whatever, something miraculous happens. I mean, it's been called the Jesus factor. It's been called many different things. When you study history during the Second World War, there were many examples of when this happened, where somebody who managed to stay in that high frequency, even though they were being terrorized and being threatened and so on, miraculous things happens. And this is, I've seen it myself many times, because when I'm in a tricky situation, I try to, if somebody is shouting at me or threatening me or something like that, I try to keep repeating the word divine. That's the word that works for me, because I think this is all a divine game, an illusion, a matrix we're in, even though it looks so real. So I try to remind myself that it's a divine player in this game, just as myself. So I just, whenever he's screaming at it, I don't listen to the words, because then I can get in his ball game. I just keep repeating, divine, divine, divine. He's my brother. He's my brother. Divine, divine. And within a few minutes, I tell you, something happens. Suddenly, the whole situation diffuses. Instead of ending up in an awful, awful, horrible situation, it suddenly you become friends, or you share a beer, or suddenly he starts telling you about his problems with his wife or something. I don't know how it happens. I can just say it happens. And that is where healing takes place. And if we can do that on a big scale, my God, the sky is the limit. The future is wonderful. So just like Mahatma Gandhi said, and Martin Luther King, all of these non-violent people who said, go, do not be weak, be strong, but in love, stay in the force of love, and we will be fine.
I agree, Ole. Thank you so much for all that. And it is an amazing weapon and a tool. And I've seen myself also great changes. I mean, I was in Cape Town in the bad times. I was married to a colored lady there, and I got shot at and everything. I could tell some amazing stories, you know. And I've seen some changes there on almost a miraculous level with people who you'd never believe that they could change so quick. And Pete Santilli was speaking to Brian Geddes yesterday. Brian, if you're listening to this, well done, Brian. Well done, Pete, and wonderful people. And they were talking about the change and how things are changing. And almost, I think they almost alluded to that there are another governments coming into place. And we we really are the government of ourselves. I think we've got to stop waving our flags. I've said this to Pete many times, and get off the teat of the government. Get off their destructive teat. Well, they're like our mums and dads, and we keep waving our flags, we keep handing our power over, and they keep lapping up our power. Like I said, it's like a masochistic, sadistic symbiosis, you know? And we've been like cattle, being so controlled, haven't we, Ollie? And now it's time to change and get out of that fear mode and step back into the shoes of power. And once we realize, you said about it there, once we realize our own power and we start seeing that in action, that power, like you said, it will change so quickly, won't it?
I think so. I really deeply think so. And I also want to point out what the word government means. It means gobernante. It means control your mind. That is the actual translation of the word government. So, I mean, listen to it and that is see what's going on. We are letting them control our mind. And this, at this point, is a super, super criminal group on a scale that is unheard of earlier in the history of the world. I mean, I've studied a lot of history. I've been to different war zones. I've been to, you know, like, I'm not just saying it lightly, but these people that we are handing over our power to, a lot of these people, at least the core group, is super criminals on a scale that is mind-blowing. So that we keep doing it, it's just like, I don't get it. I do not understand how we can continue to do it. And I would strongly recommend that we stop doing it, that we wake up and stop giving our power away to them.
Right. And also, Ollie, I think people are really realizing at last, particularly now there's a lot of voting going on. What was a really interesting one for me is in Englandshire, particularly, you know, that everyone's always voting between Lib Dems, between Labour, between Conservative. And let's say, I've said it many times, it's like going in a restaurant, you've got three options on the menu, and you know whichever one you choose, it's not going to change how you feel, how you taste. And actually, it's going to give you a bellyache and make you sick. But because there's no other choice, people in their desperation choose one of them. It's like choosing three gangster criminals and saying, well, you know, I haven't got any other choice. You all look like monsters to me, but I'm going to choose one of you anyway. And I think this is what we've got to get out of now. And people are waking up in their droves to this, aren't they, Ollie, that government is actually a sickness. And most of them are the sickest people on the planet. And that goes for most places, because money corrupts, money changes people. And money makes people do things they would not normally do. And I know you've done a lot of work with Jim Fetzer. And we're going to have a program, aren't we, with you and Jim and a couple of other people on, talking about the, not Martin Luther King, what was his name? Kennedy, you know. And it's the same bunch of people, the same criminal cabal, which is controlling this world and keeping us all in line. But it really is, people are really waking up now, Ollie, aren't they? But the problem is they don't see they've got any other choice, but their choice is their own empowerment, isn't it, to a great degree?
This whole thing with elections, I mean, I would consider myself pretty aware after 30 years. I have never gone to an election. I've never put my vote on anything because it's a rigged game most of the time, a rigged game. And just like you say, it's going to you go to this restaurant or you go to the other restaurant. The thing is, it's the same owner, both place. Wherever you go, it's owned by the same people. And that's why it never changes. Everybody keeps telling you what you want to hear. I could be a perfect politician. You know, I could just say, it's just a matter of say whatever people want to hear. And they always want to hear justice, change, liberty, equality, and so on. And in the behind the back, I would totally devote myself to the bankers, to the multinational corporation, to the industrial military complex, and so on, and just pump the people with empty words until the election is there. Once I'm elected, I just turn away from the normal people, keep them busy, you know, do whatever, but don't come and bother me. And then I totally focus on the people that where my loyalty is. So they just use our votes to get in a position where they can do their own agenda. So I would say either vote like a what do you call it, in a blank note? No, not give like a vote where you a white one, a blank where you don't vote for either, but you show that I am in, I'm aware of what's going on, but I choose to not to elect anyone you choose. Or I am not somebody who has the answer for this one, but I just know that it's not a matter of the right or left or Labour or whoever. It will just continue if we do not take the power back to ourselves. Wake up and make the change yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I had Dr. Will Tuttle on this show last week. Dr. Will Tuttle, very controversial subject about animal cruelty and slavery, about the industry of dairy and meat. And I know it's a big thing because people really are angry about it. But the fact of the matter is, one of the things that came out of that, Will, Ollie, I had him on my show as well on the on my Outside the Box show this week, because it just felt like a real analogy, really, and a real comparison to what we are like as people. We are like animals. We are being herded. We are being controlled. And in my book, I wrote about that we like going to jobs is like going in for milking. We go and sit in our jobs and they milk us. And then out we come into the field, and then in the next day we go back. And I think it's changing now. People have had enough, haven't they, Ollie? And it's like, I want to just read this thing. This, if I got time, I'll just read this quick thing that you wrote these lyrics back in 1997, which are still valid now. It's a long time ago, but it's the same thing. It's called From Prison to Paradise. So I'll just read it quickly for the people to listen to. Once upon a time, in a place not far from here, there was so much loneliness, despair, and oh, so much fear. Darkness ruled over the land. There was lightning in the sky, causing wars and separation with no one knowing why. These evil times raise leaders disguised as kind and true, hiding the truth in misty fog so only very, very few people knew. Controlled by an elite few, manipulating you and me, closing out the light and power that can make us all be free. Wake up, we've got to wake up. Forced by invisible powers, demanded to conform into shapes unknown to mankind, making him totally abnormal. Drowned in debts and sorrows, blaming others for their lot, made man believed to be inferior, feeling tiny like a dot. But then came times of change, covering countries and their towns. Few became many, and soon the prison walls came down, starting with the men in the mirrors staring right back into their eyes, understanding that this was a chance to stop those hideous lies. And happiness is merely an illusion of misery, based on brainwashing and a misconception of true reality. From now on, let's build bridges between our souls and hearts so we together can rejoice when the final change comes to its start. Turning prison into paradise may seem too much to achieve, but believe me, it only takes one strong spirit to be free. The true power of a pyramid is never at the top. Instead, it is we the people that can make this global game stop. Wake up, we've got to wake up. It has to stop, you know, and it's beautiful what you wrote there, Ollie. And I know you've written a lot of other stuff, and that's where we are, isn't it? It's as valid today as it's always been. It's just that now with the internet, it's almost like there's a spotlight on everything they do and say. You look at John McCain and people like this that are going over there, and you know, and I forgot the other guy's name now, whose son's just got a job in Ukraine as the power industry. Biden won it, Joe Biden. He was over there talking to people. Next minute, his son's in that great lucrative job. And the great joy about it is people couldn't see this years ago, could they, Ollie? And suddenly now it's almost everything they do. It's like a pantomime. Everything they do is, boom, it's on the stage for everyone to see. And it is, I said this many times, it's a bitter pill for people to swallow, to actually admit that they've been controlled and manipulated for many years, isn't it, Ollie? But we have to admit that, don't we? We have to really face the fact that we've been fooled, really, before we can escape, can we, really? We've got to, like Gurdjieff said, we've got to escape, you know we're in prison before we can escape prison, you know?
It's painful to wake up. It really is. And the longer you've been asleep, the more painful it is to see that you've been part of creating this. And so I would suggest that everyone take their own responsibility. Just focus on waking up themselves. Instead of most of us, when we're in the process of waking up, we get totally obsessed with the whole thing and just try to stuff it down other people's throat, which that is not a good way to go, because it will always be rejected and people will just fight back, you know, trying to defend their borders. Instead, wake up yourself, try to live by example, by becoming a very, very powerful and useful human being that can spread light and help and support around yourself. And by living an example, you will help waking people up that wouldn't have woken up otherwise, because then they won't see you as a threat, but they will see, my God, what's going on with this guy? And they will get inspired instead. And then if they start asking you, then you can offer them information. So be kind, you know, be kind. It is painful to wake up, and it won't make a difference if your father or brother or sister, if they wake up. This is on such a much bigger scale that we have to focus on the whole thing, not just individuals. So do your best, be good, do good, be kind, do kind things, and don't hate. It's like people now. I'm going to the Bilderberg meeting, and you know, I've been in other situations where it can go be violent and so on. And they said, "Aren't you afraid? Maybe the police is gonna, there's gonna be riots or something." I say, "I'm gonna go there. My intention is to meet friends in uniform, friends without uniforms, friends from Denmark and friends from the rest of the world, and maybe with a bit of hope, friends from the elite as well, who starts waking up and seeing, oh my God, what have I been part of creating?" And if I can somehow inspire them to get the balls, to have the balls to stand up and become a whistleblower, to have the courage to take a step out of the cabal, because they are in shark waters. They're in very difficult situation, these people as well, because they've got themselves into a very, very tricky situation where most of them cannot get out. I think that is at least the way they experience. They think if I go out, they'll kill me. You know, if I start speaking out, I'll be dead. I'll be dog food. But still, it takes someone to be the first one. And we see it now more and more, how more and more people have the courage to stand up. And the sooner they stand up and lead the elite and come forward to us with truth and true transparency, showing in great detail what they have been part of creating, the more we will welcome them, the more of a hero they will become. They can redeem themselves by exposing these truths. And the longer it goes before, because there's, in my opinion, there's no way around it. The ship is going down. It's just a matter of time. It looks very scary still to this day. It's going down. You can see the War Tribune in Kuala Lumpur a few years ago, where Dick Cheney, George Bush Jr., Tony Blair was sentenced for crimes against humanity. And now when the English Queen and the former Pope are being tried in Brussels for child genocide, I mean, these are heavy accusations against so-called very powerful people. If they don't go safe, you know, anymore, who is? It's going down, and it's beyond the tipping point, and the future is going to be wonderful. We just have to stay focused, stay in love. Don't think of revenge or hate or all of these things, or try to kill these people or something. That's, and if I can have any say, that is the absolute wrong way to do it. Look in South Africa how they did dealt with these type of things with the Truth and Reconciliation Committee and so on. Forgiveness and compassion, that's the only way to heal a country, the only way to heal a world. But it takes a lot of courage from all of us, and a lot of awakening and a lot of good deeds and bravery to be able to stand in truth even when being challenged.
Oh, well said, Ollie. Well said. Thank you so much for that. And I wrote down here, an abuser can be the very next agent to change, like you said. And it's that ethical and moral alarm bell that's ringing in people. And of course, they've got families to feed. They've got reputations to keep up. The people in uniform, they handpick them. You see them with sunglasses and these big, you know, tough guys in police uniform in America particularly, you know. But yeah, exactly. The curtain's coming down. There's no doubt about it. And I really appreciate you talking about that, Ollie, because it is takes a lot of courage to come forward and say, hey, look, I was wrong. But like you said, they can be the heroes, you know. You look at a lot of people now who are coming forward, who are stepping forward, you know. I it's incredible what's going on. And we haven't got that long left, really, Ollie, because, you know, time goes so quickly with you when we're talking. I want to brush something past you. I'm daring lately. Daring to talk about religion, and as everyone knows who listens to me, I always remind them that religion comes from the word religare, which means to religament, to retie, to get back to what we've lost, and that the words, the Bibles, the Qurans, the this, the that, they're all very powerful words of wisdom, but they're just words. They're the theology, which is the intellectual overlay of a religion. And often people can get stuck in the word, stuck in the theology, like a revolving door going round and round, whereas really you should use it as a map to liberating yourself and coming home and finding real connection and power to God or yourself or whatever. And people get stuck in the map, and then xenophobia kicks in and they're all killing each other because of it. I don't want a fatwa put on me, but there's people cutting people's heads off now. But, you know, there's Christians against Muslims and Muslims against this and Protestants against Catholics and this against that. And as I've spoken to you before, Ollie, you know, you can stick six kids in the room and you could teach them that they were any of those people and have them cutting people's heads off or fighting each other or Jehovah's Witnesses, anything. And 6 months later, you could change their minds again. So religion is really experiential, that finding that real peace within. And talk a little bit about our indoctrination, and before we go, Ollie, we haven't got much time, before we go, talk about indoctrination, superiority, our religious traps, if you like. Where do we go from here? We've got to let those labels go before we can come together as one. And the system that we live in and the governments absolutely sort of thrive on that, don't they? Keeping us all dislocated from each other and fighting as factions in Syria and Ukraine and all the rest of it. It plays right into their hands, doesn't it? Because then they can just whip the ingredients of the soup up and then get out of it what they want, yeah?
That was a long question. My God.
Roll on it, Ollie.
I would say, in my humble opinion, no offense, but I see that religion has been used as a political tool for decades. I would also point out that I'm totally for instance, what a person like Jesus, what he was standing for, what he was saying. If you look at the Bible, it's been edited, it's been translated, it's been so many times, and it's also... people, it's not even Jesus who has written it, it's people, their interpretation of what he said, and it was even written down many, many years after he disappeared or died. So to really focus on one word here or there and make a massive controversy over maybe one sentence or something like it, I would think that is a misunderstanding. Instead, look upon what he was standing for. Look, Muhammad, Buddha, these type of people, what were they standing for? They were standing for the beautiful ethics in life. They were standing for brotherhood, how to unite their tribe or humanity, you know, these type of things. Not violent, not start wars, not it's our God against you. That is what we've put, these labels have been put on afterwards, that not by Jesus. I mean, I tell you, I think if Jesus came back now, we could print a T-shirt saying, please save me from religion, you know, something like that, because that was nothing what he was standing for at all. And I would say, once again, be kind to each other. If you're a Muslim, if you're a Christian, if you're a Catholic, be curious instead. Why are you doing this on a Sunday? How come you eat that on a Thursday? You know, most of the differences are things like that, rituals. They do this, we do that. They do this, we do this. So be curious, you know, go to one of the ceremonies, to do this, do that, whatever. Mingle, join, become friends with each other and defuse the situation. And also understand that many times that these false flag operations, they are not only done in violent ways, they're done in very slick ways as well, where they start blaming different minorities, different religious groups and so on for things so that you will divert your attention away from what is going on, that it really matters. So all of these discussions and things like that, I would say, let's party, let's have, you know, join hands and let's get over this whole thing with different religions. I think it's come on, it's been going on for so many years, it's over and done. Let's get on, let's become friends instead. This is ridiculous, and focus on what needs to be done in a situation where Mother Earth and the rest of the world really needs a boost of great good energy and people helping each other, not fighting each other for silly stuff. And many of these things where I tell you where they say, oh, the Muslim had chopped the head of someone, or they have done that. Check out the stories. I'm a former journalist. Check out the stories. Just because it's written in a newspaper doesn't mean it's true. Go to that country, track down that town, go to that town and see, was that really what happened? And I bet you 99 out of 100 times that was not a true story. It's been boosted for some reason or totally out of proportion. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I'm saying it's so way out of proportions what we're being fed. And it's always for the negative. So be aware. And I would like to finish, if it's okay with you, since I say I'm not a religious person, I see myself as a spiritual person. And I have a wonderful yoga teacher who has this beautiful prayer. And it goes like this. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who heard us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. Victory to that light. That is the way to go, I think, because only by healing the people who are hurting us, they hurt us because they're hurting inside as well. They can do very cruel stuff, but once you get behind all of these things, there's a great pain. I would think so. I would suggest so. There's a great pain, a great void, black hole that they can't fill up with greed. It doesn't work. It doesn't heal the darkness they have inside them. It's only forgiveness, compassion, love. These are the things that can heal, and that is the way to go. That will just boost us into this beautiful, beautiful future. I'm so excited. I can't wait. I mean, because I think it's so close now. So, hallelujah, baby. That's what I say.
Hallelujah, Ali. And we are brothers and sisters. We're beautiful families, and we got to become families together. There's no doubt about it. We're all families, and you strip our clothes off and strip us bare, we're all the same. Listen, Ali Damagad, thank you so much. We've run out of time as usual. Lightonsconspiracies.com. Ali Damagad, my great guest today. Get his books. Get my book, The Emergency Transformation of Human Beings, as well. And let's all be one family, and let's come together in love, and let's live in peace. Thank you, Ali, so much.
You're most welcome, Jason. Anytime.
Thank you, Ali. Thank you, everybody. See you next week. Bye-bye.